Lord's house this evening to enjoy the day that God's blessed us with today. I'm still feeling a little bit sore from yesterday. Feel like somebody beat me up a little bit, but I'm coming along all right. We'll heal up. But let's go ahead and grab our Bible, turn to John chapter 4 tonight. And as you're turning there, if maybe you've not been here regularly on our Sunday nights, what we're doing is we're going through a series of messages, and what we're talking about, the subject we're covering, is the God-glorifying life. Hopefully any one of us here this evening that is saved, that knows Christ as Savior, our desire, our heart's desire ought to be to live a life that brings glory and honor to the one who saved us. And so that's what we're dealing with, and we've dealt with some specific areas. We've dealt with the God-glorifying prayer life. We've dealt with God-glorifying ministry, how that we can minister to others in such a way that it brings glory and honor to God. And tonight we're going to look at God-glorifying worship. How we worship is vitally important to God. So I want us to see that tonight. Let's all stand in reverence to the Word of God as we read tonight John chapter 4, and we'll begin reading in verse 19. John chapter 4 and verse 19. The Bible says this: "The woman saith unto him," speaking to Jesus here, "the woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him." Verse 24, it says, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get right into the message tonight. Father, we thank you for allowing us to be here. We thank you for your word, and God, we thank you for your church. God, we just count it a joy to meet together here once again with your people and to fellowship together, and Lord, above all, to just lift up your name. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to learn from the Word of God tonight. Would you challenge our hearts, God, just grow our thoughts tonight, and just pray that you'll help us, God, tonight. And we thank you for the baptism this morning. We thank you for the ones in the last several weeks who have come to Christ. And Father, just pray that you would just continue to work. God, we look forward to the fruit that you'll bring in the coming days. And God, we just trust that you'll do it. And Father, anything that's done, we'll give you the praise and the honor for it all. And we ask all these things now. Now in Christ's name, amen. Amen. You may be seated tonight. So I want to deal with just the simple topic tonight of God-glorifying worship. What does worship that glorifies God look like? What does it sound like? What is it all about? And that's really the key, because we live in such a day when there are a lot of things that are called worship that's not truly worship. And so we want to just cover the thought tonight and what we believe we can see right here in Scripture of what true worship looks like. We go back to verse 23, and verse 24 is really where we're going to draw our text from tonight. And let's read it again tonight. So it says, "But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." Notice those two things. And it says, "For the Father seeketh such to worship him." And then again he repeats it in verse 24, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." So the way we worship is vitally important to God. God does care. God does not deem everything that man deems as worship. God does not see it as such. And so we've got to be very careful in how we worship the Lord. And I will say this tonight, every single thing that you do down through your daily life can be worship. But it can also be something other than worship. And in fact, there's a lot of folks that met in a church this morning and they called it a worship service, but there was no worship taking place if you were to ask God his opinion on the matter, because it did not line up with what the Word of God says worship is tonight. So I want you to understand, first of all, this thing: what is worship? I think sometimes we really forget what worship is. We come in and we say we're going to have a worship service, but we sometimes forget what worship really is all about. And let me give you probably one of the best definitions I've come across for what worship is. Worship is this: it is the voluntary humbling of one physically and spiritually in order to exalt another. And that's what worship really is. It's when we humble ourselves, we bring ourselves low in order that to lift up someone else. In this case, when we're talking about worship from the Word of God, we're talking about humbling ourselves before God in order that He may be lifted up. And that's what worship really is about. If there was a posture of worship, it is that posture of kneeling, of bowing. Actually, the word itself, as we find it in the Hebrew and in the Greek as well, actually has to do with a bowing before God. And that's something that You and I, we live in a society where that's not something that's popular. Nobody, you know, we look around and I've often talked to teenagers and they talk about, well, why is it that there are those folks that are atheists that deny that there is a God? And I can answer that very quickly, because they don't want to bow. They don't want to submit to the authority that God has over their life. They want to run their own life, and they don't want to admit that somebody else is really in control of all of this. And so worship really has to do with that posture of bowing before God and recognizing who God is in light of who you and I are. And that's what worship is really all about. So it's simply that, what we read right there, the voluntary, notice that, the voluntary humbling, when we willingly humble ourselves before God in order that He may be exalted. And that's what worship is. So what does it take to make worship God-glorifying worship? What kind of worship is it that brings glory and honor to God? Does just anything that we label worship, does it glorify God? Because the worship that God is pleased with is that which is glorifying to Him. And so let's look into the Word of God and find something here. So the first thing I find here is this: the direction of our worship is important. And tonight I'm not talking about necessarily the direction as far as whether we face the east or whether we face the west. We're not of some who maybe would believe that you've got to face this particular direction. But what I'm talking about is our direction should be up. It should be to Him. The only thing you and I should ever direct our worship to is to Almighty God. Many times, especially in the past, there have been times down through the movement of the Independent Baptist where men have been lifted up to a position of being exalted, and there are some folks who have been guilty of worshiping a man or worshiping a church or worshiping other things. But the fact is this: if our worship is to glorify God, it must be directed to Him and to Him alone. There's no one else that's worthy of our worship. We could look into the pages of Scripture tonight and find many times when there were times as the disciples worked the works of God and they did miraculous things that others would bow to their feet. But the one thing we notice is that every time that happened, the disciples said, look, we're not the ones you're to worship. We're no different than you. Worship God. The one time that didn't happen is when someone there in a period of time, Jesus did a miraculous work as He was walking here on the earth, robed in flesh, and someone bowed before Him and to worship. And this is how we know that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, because Jesus Christ didn't say, don't worship me, worship God. Because He was God in the flesh. And so worship is always to be directed at Almighty God. He is the omnipotent one, the one who knows all. He is the all-powerful one. He is the one who exists in eternity. He never did come into being. He always has been and He always will be. Friend, He's the only thing that exists outside of us, outside of this world. He is the one thing that exists above all else. Friend, He's the one that's worthy of our worship. In fact, He is the one, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 17, that it's in Him that we live, move, and have our being. Anything that you have tonight is owed to Almighty God. The fact that you can sit here this evening and draw breath into your lungs is thanks to Almighty God. So friend, He is the one that's worthy of our worship. So the direction of our worship is important. We ought never to lift up anyone else into a position of being worshipped. And I talk to folks sometimes, and this is the mindset. I talk to them and show them in Scripture. I think about a family member I've got that's in a church that's not a Bible-believing church, and I've talked to that person, that individual, and I try to reason with them from the Scripture, and the end result is this: well, the pastor knows. And they've exalted that pastor into a role almost as God. We could very easily examine tonight the Pope and the Catholic Church and how the Pope has been lifted up into that place of being worshipped. Any man that could drive around in a little car with a transparent glass box, there's something wrong, folks. He's being worshipped. The only one that worship should ever be directed towards is Almighty God. There's no one else that's worthy of worship. I don't care how wonderful the man, how great the church, anything else, there's nothing that's worthy of worship outside of Almighty God. And so the direction of our worship is vitally important. That has to do with who we worship. And He says here that God is a spirit, and that they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth. And then it says there, even in verse 23, the true worshipers shall worship the Father. Notice that's a capital F. He's not talking about one of the holy fathers of the Catholic Church. He's talking about God, our Heavenly Father. And so he says, "They, the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth." So now we move on and we see not only the direction of our worship is important, but the disposition of our worship. This has to do with the spirit of our worship, which is why we worship. What is it that motivates our worship? That's the key. Because he said they must worship in spirit and in truth. So truth is important, but we can't neglect the fact that God said here that we must worship him in spirit. That means our disposition, our attitude. When we come in to the house of God and we come and we say tonight that we've come to worship God, what does our spirit look like? What is our disposition tonight? What is our attitude as we come into this place and we behold Almighty God? Hopefully we come and we have a desire to meet with him, to be in his presence. And friend, tonight the Bible is still true when it said, if two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. And friend, if you're here tonight and you've come into the presence of God, how is it that you approach the presence of God? Do you come before him with that wonder and that awe that you once did? Or maybe it's just become commonplace. Friend, I think what's happened a lot of times is now we come to church and a lot of times we come to a worship service and instead of truly worshiping God, we just go through the motions. Our spirit never gets involved. And friend, that's what God wants. God wants worship in spirit and in truth. So friend, when we come in and we have a desire to worship God in such a way that he is glorified, we must be certain that our spirit is important. What's the spirit of our worship? I think about the ways that we worship God. We worship God in song. When you sing the songs, who is your audience tonight? Are you singing in such a way that the person next to you, you say, well, I've got to sing quietly so they don't hear me. Hey, I'm right with you. I understand that sentiment. But who are you singing to this evening? When you come into the house of God, or if we are told, now we can come in and we can sing every hymn that's in that hymn book, but the question is, who are we singing to? And that's what's going to denote, is it worship? But not only that, but how are we singing? Friend, I'm afraid that what's happened in a lot of our churches today, especially among our independent Baptist churches, Bible-believing churches, is we've erred so far to one side. There was a time when emotion would rule and things just got out of hand, and there was a time when there was disorganization and things like that that took place in the church, and I don't believe that's where we should be. But I also know this, that sometimes I'm afraid that when it comes to the spirit of worship, understand me now, I'm talking about the spirit of worship. I'm afraid there are a lot of liberal churches who have us beat because we come in and we're afraid almost to get excited. We're afraid almost to get emotional. We're afraid almost that somebody might see if I happen to just slip up my hand and praise God. If I happen to just shout an amen, hallelujah. Those things like that. We say, oh, now we're going liberal. Well, that's not it. We can still worship God in spirit and in truth. It's okay to come into the house of God and to sing his praises with excitement. If you can sing a verse like that verse of he took my sins and my sorrows, he made them his very own, he bore my burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. And then, boy, I love that chorus. How marvelous. How wonderful. If you can sing that and your emotions don't get involved, there's something wrong. You're not worshiping God in spirit and in truth tonight. You may be worshiping him in truth because you're singing the right type of a song, but you're not worshiping him in spirit. And God wants both. God's not satisfied with a dead, lifeless worship service. Friend, folks ought to come in. I just imagine, what does the average individual that comes into an independent Baptist church think about our worship service? Hey, I've been in a lot of churches over the years, and I've seen many a church where they sung the songs about like this. They could sing about the love of God. How marvelous, how wonderful. This is how it's done. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my soul. Hey, I'm telling you, God's not glorified in that. And hey, when someone else comes in and they see that, they know you're not worshiping God. There's no worship in that. Friend, we've got to get our spirit involved. Let me let you in on a little secret tonight. It's God that gave us those emotions. He's okay with us getting excited once in a while. He's okay with us being moved as we sing the words of those hymns. Let me tell you tonight, if you begin to sing that song and you imagine God looking down from the glory of heaven and looking down and see you as you sing those words, and just imagine you're looking up in His face, how would you sing? I just have a feeling most of us would sing a little differently. Because most of the time our concern is not with Him, it's with what is everybody else going to think. And hey, I'm not here tonight to tell you you need to start jumping over the rows of chairs and lose our minds tonight. That's not it. That's still not right. Then we err too far to the other side. But friend, just because we need to make a correction doesn't mean we have to go too far to the other side. Friend, there's a lot of churches this evening that are scared to death of any little bit of excitement because they think, oh no, what's happening here? Things are getting out of hand. Man, it's okay to get excited as you sing the praises of God. It's okay to shed tears. Hey, I'll tell you, I love nothing more than to see someone whose heart is moved, whose heart is touched. Their spirit is involved as they worship the Lord. That's what God expects. If we're to please Him in our worship, our spirit needs to get involved. Friend, we ought to sing His praises and it ought to move us. It ought to be as though He were standing right up here on the platform as we sing those songs and we're singing to Him, the one who bought us, the one who shed His very blood for you and me. We ought to sing as though we're singing to Him. Friend, I think if we could get that mindset, and let me tell you, it's not easy, it's difficult because we go through and we sing the songs and it just becomes commonplace to us. But if we could just settle in our mind who we're singing to, who it is that we're worshiping, friend, I think it would change the spirit of our worship. I think about as we come to an altar and we bow before Him and we talk to Him. Hey, is our spirit involved? Are we touched? Are we moved? Is our spirit involved as we worship God, as we come to Him and bow before Him and talk to Him? But friend, whatever it is, however it is that we seek to worship God, friend, I think there's still a scripture in the Bible that says, whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. I said at the beginning of the message, everything you do can be worship. Let me tell you this tonight. The Christian ought to be the very best worker down at the workplace. Because through your work, you're worshiping God. You're glorifying Him, the one who bought you. Hey, we ought never to do anything less than our best. I think about when a choir sings. Hey, I always used to tell our young people, hey, I had a bunch of young people and not a single one of them could read music. But I used to tell them, look, I don't care if you hit every note. That's not what I'm concerned with. Do people know that you mean it? Because that's what my concern is. Hey, when the choir stands up to sing on a Sunday morning, my desire as I sit over here and listen is not that every single note is hit by every single individual, but is our spirit involved? Are we worshiping God as we sing? And are we singing as though we were singing unto Him? Friend, that's the key. Is our spirit involved? Because that's what's going to make the difference in true worship. He says true worship is in spirit and in truth. And friend, I fear so many times we get so focused on wanting to do the in truth side of that that we neglect to get our spirit involved. But friend, we can't have one without the other and bring glory and honor to Almighty God. I just imagine, you know, again, the folks, hey, I was reading a book on worship this week and I was thinking about and he gave an illustration. If you were to turn to the page of the book, you would think, what in the world is he doing here, this illustration? It's just a little set of drawings and there's aliens and there's churches and you think, what in the world? But he was illustrating this fact. He said, if someone were to come from another world and step into our services, would they believe that we're worshiping? And he gave the example, on one hand, the Muslim who comes and they bow before God. And they do all those things, the routines that they go through. And then they come into a service where everybody just kind of stands around with a frown on their face. Which one do you think they would make the assumption is the true and the living God? Friend, do we sing? Do we come in and do we worship as though God is a reality? I fear a lot of times we've forgotten God. He also gave this illustration. I love this illustration. He gave the illustration. He said there was once a man who came by his house. This man was a close friend, someone who knew him very intimately and was a close friend of his. And he came to the door and he said this man came and knocked on his door. And as he was normally do, he opened the door and he greeted the man. And the man acted as though he didn't even exist and walked right by him into the house. He thought, well, that was strange. And then not only did the man walk into the house, but he went over and helped himself to the fridge, and he opened it up and got him out something to eat, got him out something to drink. And then not only that, he went over and fellowshiped with the rest of the family, but never once spoke to the man of the house. And he gave that illustration to say this. He said, look, that never happened to me, but that's what many of us are doing every Sunday. We come in, and we come into God's house, and God's wanting to meet with us. God wants to let His presence be felt in our heart, and He wants to stir within our heart and get... But let me tell you, the part of us that relates to God is our spirit. If our spirit's not actively involved in our worship, we'll not meet with God. We'll come in, and we'll hear the preaching. We'll be involved in the singing. We'll talk to our brothers and sisters in Christ and fellowship with them, and then we'll walk out having never once truly met with the one whose house it is. This is God's house. This is God's church. And friend, we come here to worship Him. That's our goal. That's our desire with every single service, is to worship Him. So friend, are we worshiping God in spirit? Hey, that's the disposition of our worship, our attitude as we come in. Friend, I hope that you'll not be afraid to be excited about the things of God. Hey, maybe to get a little emotional now and then. Hey, that's what lets me know my spirit's involved. When I can sit here and hear those songs sung and it moves something within me and the tears begin to flow and God begins to work on my heart. Hey, that's what lets me know my spirit's involved. We need that if we're to bring glory and honor to God with our worship. But now we come to the final part, and we see that he says, they, the true worshipers, worship the Father. That's the direction it's to be to Him. The true worshipers worship in spirit. That's that disposition, the attitude of our worship. But then we come finally now to, he says, and in truth. And friend, this is probably the most important and the most often missed in many places that call themselves churches today. And this is the design of our worship. Is how we worship important? Hey, I believe if we're to look and see in the pages of Scripture that it absolutely is. We think about back in the Old Testament system of worship and how the sacrifices were given. And is it not true that there was a very specific means, a very specific method to how those sacrifices were to be conducted? God didn't say, just bring anything you feel like. God didn't say, just do it any way you feel like. God said, this is what I'm asking for, and this is the way I want it done. So friend, I do believe there's a method of worship that brings glory and honor to God. And I do also believe that there are other methods of worship that are not true worship. Friend, I think there's a lot of things out there tonight that folks are calling worship that has absolutely nothing to do with true worship. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Because we see in Scripture, we've already talked a little bit about our songs and what we sing. And you'll notice around here, we sing the hymns of the faith. We sing spiritual songs. We sing songs that are doctrinally right, that support the Word of God, that back up what it is that the Bible has to say. And most importantly, we sing songs about Him, about the Lord, about God. That's what the focus of our songs ought to always be. But the problem is, so many today, they've come to this point where they say, well, it doesn't, you know, we're worshiping God in song, and it really doesn't matter what song we sing, what style of music we use. Hey, let me tell you tonight, it matters. It matters. God is not honored, God is not glorified with the style of worship of many modern day churches today. And this is why, look with me, you'll find this principle in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 17. God is speaking to believers here through the pen of the Apostle Paul in verse 17, and he says this, wherefore come out from among them, speaking of the world, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And then he says, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord. So what that lets me know tonight is this, I don't find anywhere specifically in Scripture where God says, I want you to sing from a hymn book. I don't know about you, I've read the Bible through and I've never seen the word hymn book in the Bible. I haven't seen it. But there's a reason we use a hymn book. And hey, I'll tell you this, I'm not opposed to using some songs that aren't in the hymn book. Don't get scared tonight. Hey, I still think there are good songwriters out there. Hey, we're going to sing a Christmas cantata. Guess what? It's not in the hymn book. But it's still good. It's still right. It's still God-honoring. So friend, let me tell you where we make the mistake. My fear is this, that in many churches today, and And hey, I hope we'll never head this direction. As long as God will give me breath and as long as God's got me here, we're not going that direction. But what's happened is many churches have went another direction in their music. Why have they done it? Is it because they feel that this new style of music is more God-honoring, more God-glorifying? I don't think there's a person that could honestly say that's true. So, hey, the question is this. What is God pleased with much of what today is deemed worship? Hey, I have to say that He's not. Because now we've gone from being separate from the world. Hey, let me tell you, you go out into the workplace, you're not going to hear probably the hymns of the faith. Hey, you go over to Walmart tonight, they're probably not playing "It Is Well." Hey, they're not playing that down at the Walmart tonight. Something different takes place when you come into God's house. And that's the way it's supposed to be. Instead of, hey, when I leave God's house and go over to the rock concert, I can't tell the difference. That's not worship. That does not line up. If we're to worship God, it's not only in spirit, but it's in truth. Where do we find truth? Right here, in the pages of the Word of God. Turn with me to another verse of Scripture, Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, and I'm going to focus mainly on music, but the principle applies across the board. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Look with me in verse 18. He says this, "And be not drunk with wine where is in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." And then he says this, how's that going to happen? This, 19, verse 19. "Speaking to yourselves in psalms." Hey, every one of us knows what that is. Go over to the book of Psalms. You know, I hope everybody here understands those were written to be sung. Hey, that's what he says. Speaking unto yourselves in psalms and hymns. Hey, it doesn't say hymn book, but right there is hymns. Hey, that's what we sing. And then he says this. He even leaves open a little bit. He says, and spiritual songs. Hey, that's where something like a Christmas cantata would fall into. It's a spiritual song. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Again, He's the audience of our worship. But friend, tonight I see this truth is evident here. We can look at what today is termed worship, and the fact is this, it's not bringing glory and honor to God because it's more like the world. All we're doing is taking something the world has and adding a new verse, a new word. Hey, all we're doing is taking something the world has and trying to change it up just enough so we can say, well, we're still different. Hey, that's not it. The moment we begin to imitate the world rather than seek to glorify God, we've missed it. No longer are we worshiping. So friend, when we worship, we're to worship in spirit and in truth. Hey, it does matter how we worship. Again, I say tonight, hey, I encourage you, if you get a copy of this book, it's from Brother Dave Hardy, and he just talks about worship in the ear of God. And one of the best books I've read on worship as I was studying, preparing for this, but he just talks about how worship, what God intended for worship. And friend, I believe God still intends for us to sing the old-fashioned songs. Hey, just because they're not popular doesn't mean, well, hey, folks, this is the mindset. Hey, we can't reach folks if we don't get that type of music in. I beg to differ. There's a lot of churches out there reaching folks that are still singing the hymns of the faith, still singing spiritual songs. Hey, it has nothing to do. Because guess what? We're not singing. There's not a song tonight that we sung so you could enjoy it. Hey, I hope you did enjoy it and you ought to enjoy singing these songs. But that's not why we sing the songs we sing. We sing the songs we sing because we believe that it brings glory and honor to God. And friend, I can't say that. If I brought a rock band up here tonight and just added the words of Amazing Grace to it, I can't say that God is honored. I can't say that God is glorified. Now, instead of trying to bring glory and honor to God, what I'm doing is trying to please the audience. But the problem is I got the wrong audience. I've got to have the right audience in mind if we're to worship God in spirit and in truth. So friend, tonight, that's the question. Is our worship glorifying God? We need to think about this individually because, hey, I said the song service here, it's not changing. We're going to continue to sing psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. But what are you going to listen to when you get in your car on the way home tonight? Worship doesn't end when you walk through that door. Worship takes place every day of our life. It ought to. So, hey, what are you popping into the CD player on your way home? What station are you tuning to tonight? Is it an imitation of the world's music? Or maybe it is the world's music. But hey, you can't worship God like that. Let me tell you, there's been times riding down the street, and hey, let me tell you, I've not always been this way. There was a time when I thought, hey, country music's all right. That's what I grew up listening to. And through the course of my teenage years, I listened to every genre of music out there. But there came a point when God began to deal with my heart and said, look, if you want to worship me, you're going to have to get the right kind of music. And let me tell you now, I love it. I love it. And you'll never go wrong with God-honoring music. Man, I've had times where I'm driving down the road and listening to some good God-honoring music, and I've just had a worship service right there in the car. God's met with me. God spoke to me. And hey, you may think that's something spooky tonight, but it's not. Hey, you get the right kind of stuff in your life, God will meet with you. Because notice this, the last thing tonight. We see the direction of our worship is important. The disposition of our worship is important. The design of our worship, how we do it, is important. Well, let's turn back over there to the book of John chapter 4 and look at one final thing tonight. Because there's something that's special about worship when it comes to God. And that's why the title of the book that I read was Worship and the Ear of God. Listen to what he says. Go back down now to John chapter 4 and verse 23 and 24. So he says, the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And now notice the next phrase, for the Father seeketh such to worship Him. And that means He's after those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. That means that's the ones He wants to meet with. Now understand, God is omnipresent. He is everywhere all at one time, and there's never anything that He doesn't see. But I can tell you this, there's times when His presence becomes more real. There's times when you know God's around. Hey, if you're truly saved tonight, you've had those moments in life where you have met with God one-on-one. I think about Moses and where the Bible talks about he spoke to God as a man speaking to his friend. And friend, I hope you've had times like that. I've never yet heard an audible voice, but it's been even more powerful than that. As God's met with me at times in my life. But friend, if that's to happen, my worship has to be God-honoring. It has to be in spirit and in truth, directed only to Him. And as I do that, what the Bible lets me know is that God is seeking me. God is seeking you when you worship in spirit and in truth. That is the person, the individual that God is seeking out to meet with you and to commune, to fellowship with you. And I'll tell you this, in a lot of churches this morning that propose to have a worship service, but they worshiped with a rock band and with dancing around and whatever else it is that they've done, God's presence wasn't there. I don't mean God wasn't there, as we know He's everywhere all at one time. But God's not going to work in that place because He's not honored. He's not seeking those who are not worshiping in spirit and in truth. But if we'll worship God here at the High Plains Baptist Church, if we'll determine to worship Him in spirit and in truth, that's where God is seeking for. That's what He's looking for. That's what He's longing for. And He's pleased with that. And that's where God's presence is going to be. And that's where we're going to know that God's at work. And that's where the power of God is going to be felt. And friend, let me tell you tonight, if there's anything of any value to happen at High Plains Baptist Church, we need the presence of Almighty God. And it needs to be a reality. And friend, the only way that's going to happen is if we'll worship Him in spirit and in truth. So tonight, what I encourage you to do is examine yourself. Do you come into the house of God in a spirit of worship? Just looking and recognizing who God is and who you are. I can't help but think the words of the psalm ring in my mind. What is man that thou art mindful of him? Hey, here's the one who put the universe in place, who flung out the stars, who spoke the very world into existence. And yet his ear is in tune to me. Hey, I don't know about you, but that makes me want to worship. That makes me want to praise him. That makes me want to bow before him. In order that He might be exalted. Friend, that ought to be our desire. May we humble ourselves in order that He may be exalted. And friend, let's worship Him in spirit as we come in. Let's be excited about the opportunity we have to come together and worship God. Friend, tonight I hope you realize you could go down through this wall of our missionaries, and some of those missionaries are in places tonight where if they were to have a worship service like this, they'd be thrown in prison and they don't have this opportunity. Friend, you and I better enjoy it. We better value it. How precious it is. How precious it is to be in a country where we still have the freedom to come together and to worship God. But friend, it might not always be that way. So let's take advantage of the opportunity we have to worship God. And let's come in with an excitement. Let's come in. Worship is this. It's done out of love and out of adoration. Do we love God? Do we adore Him? Is He precious to us? If He is, we'll come in with the right spirit. But friend, just don't forget, when you walk through those doors and you come in to what we call a worship service, don't forget who the audience is. Don't forget to give it your best. Hey, I encourage you. You've heard the story. I've already told it here, I believe. But how I sat at that youth camp and I watched a little man who's 70-some, 80 years old. And he sat next to me and he couldn't have been 5 foot tall and weighed about 100 pounds. And here I was, a young man about 20 years old, 180 pounds or whatever it was at the time, and full of life and strength and energy. And he's now on the other side and he's... doesn't have a whole lot of energy to give. Doesn't have a whole lot of strength left. But boy, when it was time to sing, he was ready for worship. I watched a smile come across his face as they announced the song. And then as soon as that song started, I watched that little mouth pop open. And out of it became, man, he was just, I could tell, I could look over. And I knew there was something different in what he was doing and what I was doing. And you know what it was? He was worship. I wasn't. I was concerned about it. Everybody else hearing me. I was concerned about what would others think. I was concerned about, hey, what if folks think I'm a little strange? But he didn't care. Because you know why? He had the right audience in view. And I had no doubt as he stood there and sang, he was singing to his Savior. And friend, that's what we ought to do when we come in on a Sunday morning, on a Sunday night, on a Wednesday night, and we sing these great hymns of the faith. We ought to sing to our Savior. Lift up the praise as though His ear is listening, because it is. Friend, let's worship God in a way that He can be glorified. We're going to have just a moment of invitation tonight, just as we always do, but I just ask you, Lord, speaking to your heart tonight, is there something, you say, maybe I've come in and I've not had the right attitude. Hey, a lot of times we come in and we carry the cares and the troubles of life right into the worship service with us, and we can't worship because our mind's on other things. Hey, you've been guilty just like I have of singing the songs and never once recognizing the words you've sung. But friend, let's make sure that doesn't happen. Let's come in with an attitude of worship. Let's come in with our spirit ready to worship. Let's look at those words and recognize what it is that God's done for us, and then recognize to whom it is we're singing, to whom it is we're worshiping. So friend, let's stand our feet tonight, every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe God's spoken to your heart tonight. Hey, maybe it's the fact that you've got some music still in your life that's not God-honoring, that, hey, let me tell you, God wants to meet with you. God wants you to worship Him every day, every hour. And He wants to meet with you. But He's not going to do it as long as you're allowing those things into your life that do not bring glory and honor to Him.